May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. So there are weeks when I'm asked to preach and I find the assigned readings a little light on meat for reflection. And then there are weeks when the world events seem to be lacking for much sermon content. For better or for worse, this week was not one of them. Now, I wrote my sermon, and it was about 3 hours long. But don't worry, I'm not gonna put that on you all today. Another day, though, let me know. Instead, I found myself drawn again and again and again to the same place. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is well known and well loved. And in the eyes of my dad, who was an avid student of Scripture, it was very controversial. He would get so worked up talking about it. It really bothered him, and this actually happens a lot, when people would try to explain away the literal miracle of Jesus creating physical food out of scarcity. He would say, "It is such a nice idea that what they really meant was that Jesus fed their spiritual hunger rather than their physical hunger. And it's really a nice idea that Jesus' presence inspired people to go into their own stashes of food, the ones they've been hoarding, and realize that together they had enough." But, he would say very emphatically, "We do Jesus a disservice not to speak of the physical miracles that he enacted while on earth." I cannot read the story without thinking of my dad. And I've always deferred to his logic because he was brilliant in my eyes. Jesus performed actual physical miracles while he was here among us, one of which was creating enough out of 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed and have leftovers a crowd of 5,000 people. We cannot and we should not ever try to explain this away. He was, after all, God incarnate. And while we don't want to throw out the physical miracles of Jesus, just hear me out here, Dad, we should also beware of throwing out the miracles of the heart. With Jesus, it is all of it, both and, not either or. This year, through our lectionary, and those are the readings that are assigned for each week, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark. So it's interesting that today, even though the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is in all 4 Gospels, in fact, the only miracle in all 4 Gospels, the one we read today is not the one from the Gospel of Mark, but rather the one from the Gospel of John. Why is that? See, Mark, in my opinion, is a very no-nonsense gospel. It was the first gospel written, and I think that it tells the stories of Jesus with a simplicity and a grit. John, on the other hand, has been called the spiritual gospel. Not because the other gospels are unspiritual, but because it has a special way of drawing our attention to the Jesus, the person, who he was, and challenging us to make a personal response to Jesus. In John's telling of the story, it is almost as if we can glimpse into the heart of Christ. John's language invites us to see beyond the wow of the multiplying bread and into the heart of Jesus, the person who was born in poverty and died in disgrace, who came here because of God's abiding and eternal love for us, who came to be the ultimate example of and for humanity. So why is this significant? Well, because I believe we miss the gift of this beautiful example if we focus solely on the wow. John writes that the crowd that day was following Jesus because of all the cool things he was doing. They wanted to witness the magic. They wanted to be healed. This man was a wonder worker, and they wanted whatever it was that he was offering that could make them better. But Jesus needed them to understand the rest of the story. Following Jesus does not always mean physical healing or joyful living. It is never a quick and easy answer. following Jesus is a commitment to take the slow and winding path of discernment and courage and faith in a God that eternally loves us, to seek and illuminate God's presence throughout the world, and to find the courage to speak up even when it makes us uncomfortable or unpopular. But this crowd on this day was more focused on the wow. They wanted him to be king because he could create physical abundance out of scarcity. They felt like he was offering a quick fix for all their problems. And John writes that when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. There was no ego there, only a mission to share a new way of living. And ironically, within a few weeks, these same people would be crying out for his execution. So things have not evolved much since that time. Our culture elevates people who have a big social following, people who do cool, dramatic things. And too often, we let the wow dictate the level of their influence on us. I wonder if Jesus was walking among us today, what would he be like? And who would follow him? Would his message resonate and break through all the hype? I see it every day. We all follow people because they are in our face with the most current everything. We can't help it. And before we know it, we're counting the athlete, the screen actor, the influencer as an expert on everything. People are literally begging Taylor Swift to come out with her position on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I get a text almost daily from the Democratic Party asking me to donate or freeze my donation because George Clooney thinks it's a good idea. I believe we have a crisis of leadership that comes from our tendency to follow people because of their it factor. Feeding the ego is important, and that wow gives people just enough it factor to rise to the top. We follow them because latching onto their it factor in some small way serves our own. Now, I want to be really clear here. I am not talking about one particular political party or sector of our culture even. I see this across the board. We look at the slates for leadership in so many sectors of our community and our church and our world, and we say, that's all we have? Is it because we require so much wow, which requires a decent dose of ego, for anyone to attain and sustain public influence? Or is it because to stay at the top means being right at all cost, never changing your mind, never compromising, never backing down, no matter who you need to knock down along the way? I Googled the term modern-day prophet, and the first thing that comes up is an article in the New York Times. The headline reads, "Christian prophets are on the rise. What happens when they're wrong?" They are the stars of the fastest-growing segments of Christianity. The world has co-opted this term prophet to mean people who mysteriously predict the future because God gives them the secret message. These modern-day prophets are the superstars for many. After all, who dares argue with an announcement from a vibrant, well-loved, and respected leader when it's preceded by those magic words, "The Lord told me"? For so many, this is all they know of God. And for as many as it draws into God, it repels in equal measure. The world has allowed these shining stars to become the story. But when we stop and look at the prophets that we have preserved through the ages, what do we see? We see people just like you and me, regular people, who said yes to God. They were reluctant, they were flawed, they were insecure, and they were often dismissed. Jesus fled the crowd that day because they wanted to make him into the image they desired. He had that wow factor that they liked. But he wanted people to follow him for different reasons. He wanted us to understand. The scripture says when he reached the disciples' boat, They wanted to pull him on board. They wanted him to go with them where they were going. They wanted him to protect them on the way. But just then, the boat hit land. We cannot ask Jesus to follow us. We cannot simply follow the wow. We must follow the fullness of the example. In John's retelling of the feeding of the 5,000, we see Jesus as the incarnate God who could work miraculous wonders, and as a prophet, the human who wanted us to look beyond the wow and into the heart. Jesus is our example. So how do we shut out the noise? How do we change the pattern? Walter Brueggemann says, to participate in the Eucharist is to live inside God's imagination. We come to the table to be formed. What does that mean? It means we have a job to do, and we can find the strength and wisdom to be that work in the world, in and through our liturgy, in and through Jesus. In Eucharistic Prayer C, which we will use today, we pray for God to deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. I want to say that one more time because it goes by really fast in the prayer, but I think it's so important. We come to this table and we pray for God to deliver us from the presumption of coming to the table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. When we come to the table, we experience the living bread of Christ. Meeting Christ in the Eucharist is the first step in empowering us to be Jesus' example in the world. It is the wow and the heart that will bring us the strength and the constant renewal that we need to be bearers of the truth in a world filled with lovers of the wow. Let us set ourselves apart by following Jesus because of both the wow and the heart. As we commit and recommit to leaning into the stance of Jesus, we can start a movement to lift up leadership across the board that is strong and solid and true. The wow may entice, but it is the heart that changes the world. I want to close by sharing once again our beautiful reading today from Ephesians. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.